praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you right now for each and every one that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. Father God, we just thank you that tonight as we go to minister your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father God, help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Help us to take that word and go out to the highways and the byways and find the people that are down and out and need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, we just thank you for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you today. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, right now for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ with all boldness. Father God, we thank you for your anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us in an instant. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing. And Father God, we just thank you for mom and dad as they're starting their crusades in Alabama. We thank you for giving them, for helping them get rest. And we thank you, Father, for the anointing of God there. We thank you for healings taking place and a wonderful week they'll still have. And we thank you for it in Christ, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God's a good God. Amen. So, like I said, mom and dad started tonight in Dothan, Alabama. Then they're going starting Wednesday to, I just went blank, somewhere else in Alabama. Decatur, Alabama. So they're going to be in Alabama all week long. In fact, I knew someone was from the Dothan area. And when I asked him, I said, where are you from? He says, I'm from L.A., L.A., yeah, Lower Alabama. So that they're in L.A. tonight. Not L.A. you would think of, but, you know, they're in Lower Alabama. It's pretty much as low as you can go in Alabama. You're almost to Florida. I think they're like 16 or 20 miles from the Florida line. So, you know, just continue to pray for them, you know, that not only the Lord will strengthen them. They've been pretty hitting it pretty hard here recently, and actually they took a few days off before they left, and so they're there for the whole week, you know, just ministering God's word. And then Greg has a few things he had to do actually at the main church, and so we had Roger here tonight, and so we need to get Greg to sing. See if he can sing like Roger can sing next time he's doing announcements. I bet not. You know, of course. You know, I think Greg has the same kind of voice I have when it comes to singing. You know, we only sing solo. I mean, we don't sing solos. We just sing low enough that nobody hears us. You know, only the Lord. You know, we sing praises to the Lord. Amen. I want to start out in Romans 10:17, and most of you can probably know what that scripture is. But, you know, I was going to quote it, but you can turn there if you want to. Reading from the New King James, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, my grandfather always said that Greek word there for hearing denotes continuous action. He always said it like this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He always, you know, made sure that you understand that we have to hear over and over and over and over and over again. And in fact, if you follow his ministry, I mean, from the day he started ministering to the day he died, he almost every time he ministered on the subject of faith. Not every time, but majority of the times, because he thought it was very, you know, well, actually, the Lord appeared to him in vision and said, go teach my people faith. That's what he was, you know, he was given the mandate to do. And one of the reasons we have Raymond Bible Training College today is to train men and women around the world to go teach faith. And so one thing that we try to do, because faith comes by hearing and not by having heard, is that from time to time, we try to, you know, have a lot of faith messages. And so tonight we're going to minister on faith again. Amen. And you know, it's because we've never heard it too much. And in fact, I found out the more I preach on faith, the more faith I get. And you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I'll say things. I'm like, man, I thought it's my own self that I said that. I haven't ever seen that before. You know, so sometimes I do. So we're going to minister on faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word. So no matter whether you heard what we're ministering on, that doesn't mean anything. What it means is we need to be reminded over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, because that really talks about where faith comes from. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. And really, I started at Rhema. We have me and my dad actually share a class, Faith Library 1, in which he's taught the first 4 weeks, and I teach the next 4 weeks. And I taught on faith the other day, and I had so many people say, that's the best message I ever heard. You know, and I started thinking, you know, I need to teach more on faith. I mean, you know, because we've never heard it enough. You know, and we need to be reminded over and over again. So, you know, I want to first start out reading from Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I've told you before that I looked up the word faith in the Webster's New World Dictionary. That was a dictionary that I got whenever I went to Oklahoma State University and applied for a credit card. They gave me the dictionary. Sometimes I think the dictionary was worth more than my whole degree. But anyway, that's a joke. I'm glad for my degree. But I got this dictionary, and after I had been ministering for about 12 years, mainly on the subject of faith, one day it hit me. I was preparing for a message, and actually we were on the road in Virginia, actually. My grandfather had asked me to minister, and so I was preparing, and I thought, you know, I've actually never looked up the word faith in the dictionary. And I carried this dictionary, little pocket-sized dictionary, in my briefcase. And so I look up the word faith. First word, the first definition was complete trust or confidence. That's a good definition. But it's the second one that changed my life. And that's faith is an unquestioning belief. An unquestioning belief. And it was that definition that really changed everything about my life. And I think it would change yours if you'll understand that faith is an unquestioning belief. So that means, you know, when you're standing for whether it be your healing or a financial blessing or whatever it is, if you start to question, you know, questions are, when is it going to happen, Lord? Why has it not happened, Lord? I mean, these are all questions. If you're asking questions, you're not in faith. Because, you know, right here it says now faith is. When faith comes in, it's always there now. See, faith is not a question, it's a knowing. You know that whenever you speak these words, that they will happen. All right? And of course, we know, we've all read the over there where it says that by his stripes, the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Words past tense. We already have been healed. We've been healed, but we still have to confess it. We have to claim it. We have to take it for ourselves, and we get it by faith. Everything that we do with the Word of God is all by faith. In fact, it was by faith that you got saved. You had to have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died upon the cross, that he took stripes on his back, and now he rose from the dead, and he's seated in the right hand of the Father in heaven. And when you ask him in, we always say he dwells with us in our heart. You know, but really that's the Spirit of the Lord. So, you know, but you know, when that means wherever we are, he is. It says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So really, if he's not going to leave us nor forsake us, so whenever we ask in faith, really we're asking him right here. Lord, help me. I'm going through a situation. Now, you know, if he was here, if Jesus was right here in person, and you were to say, Jesus, this is what I'm going through, I need your help, every one of us would expect it to happen, because he's right there. I mean, that's what happened, you know, whenever he was walked the face of the earth. I mean, everybody expected it, because they've heard the stories. They heard how he changed the water into wine, how he walked upon the water, all kinds of stories. How he spoke to the storm, and it just dissipated. So we would expect it to happen. But because we don't see it with our natural eyes sometimes, we forget he's still there. You know, just because you don't see Santa Claus, he still knows when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake. Because you sing about that, you know, sometimes. Of course, we all know Santa Claus really does not exist except for in your mall. But, you know, he's at every mall, so that's kind of weird, you know. So I guess he's kind of omnipresent if it comes to malls. He's always there. He's a mall rat, I guess. I'm not sure. But anyway, you know, just because you don't see Jesus does not mean he's not there. And in fact, it says that even when we were yet saved, that he stood at the door and he was knocking on our heart. He was still there waiting for us to open it. So, you know, whenever we speak, we have to have faith and believe that it's already happened, that Jesus Christ had provided that. Now, I also have told you before that I decided to look up hope. I want to see what the difference of faith and hope was. And a hope is a feeling that what is wanted will happen. A feeling that what is wanted will happen. You know, nothing more than a feeling. Well, a feeling is different than a knowing. All right. Whenever you're in hope, you're just feeling that you know, well, hopefully it'll happen. Now, I've actually seen people, you know, come in the prayer line and ask them later on, said, well, did you get healed tonight? Well, I sure hope so. Yeah. Well, that's not faith. Right. They even use the word hope. But, you know, in reality, if we say, well, I'm going to get healed, well, going to get to future tense, I've already been healed. By faith, because see, when faith came in, it was now. It was immediate. I immediately knew that I was healed. I immediately knew that my needs were taken care of, even though I didn't see it with my physical eyes. But see, you know, my grandfather says it this way. He says that, you know, here in Hebrews 11:1, faith is taking hold of the unseen realm of hope and bringing it into the realm of reality. Whenever you speak the word, it happens now. You don't see it, but it happens now. See, you were hoping you were going to get it, but now when faith comes in, you already have what you don't see. You have what you were hoping for. It becomes yours now. Now, to use an example in the Bible, we're going to go to Mark chapter 11, Mark the 11th chapter, and we're going to read from verse 12, because that's really the start of, you know, as we know, the keynote scriptures for our ministry is Mark 11, 23 and 24. But Mark chapter 12 is where it starts. And that's 23 and 24 is an explanation of what Jesus did with the fig tree. Now it says this. It says Mark 11, 12. It says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he, being Jesus, was hungry. Now notice, Jesus was hungry. All right. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. So it really makes it sound like, I don't know because I wasn't there. But it makes it sound like that he was walking down the road and he saw a fig tree off to the right or to the left. And he actually deviated his course to this fig tree. Because I guess for whatever reason, Jesus was hungry and he liked figs. Now, I told everyone, I'm not a figologist. I don't really know much about figs. I know we have a thing called Fig Newtons, and I've had a couple of them. I didn't really like it a whole lot. So, you know, but Jesus, you know, he wanted some figs. Now, it is interesting, too. I mean, I know I've done this. I'm sure we all have done it. You know, whenever you kind of get in your own mind that you're going to get to eat something, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe you change to go somewhere else or you go and the restaurant's closed. You know, like you went to Chick-fil-A on Sunday and found out it was closed because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. You know, so sometimes you get things in your mind that you're going to eat and all of a sudden you get there, you know, and you eat something different. You know, it's kind of like, well, I really wanted this. But this is even worse when you went to get something to eat and you get nothing to eat. When Jesus got there, there was no figs, because it says right here, it says he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Now, one translator said it was too early for figs to be there. But according to Figology 101, as I read on the internet, that if a fig tree has leaves, it should also have figs. That's why when Jesus saw from afar there was leaves on this tree, he said, I'm going to go over there and get some figs, because he knew that there was going to be figs. Now, when he got there, this is one area where we see that Jesus was disappointed. All right, because he was hungry. Just like, you know, sometimes we get hungry. And, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe for whatever reason that we get busy and we don't get a chance to eat. And then, I mean, it's happened to me many times. I've been at work and I'm hungry, I'm ready to go to lunch, and something happens, and had a meeting and have this. Before you know it, I'm going home and it's dinner time, but I'm really, really hungry. You know, and so, you know, it probably happens more frequently than I'd like it to happen. But, you know, I could probably skip a few meals and be okay. It would be okay for me anyway. But Jesus was really hungry. And, you know, he was obviously, must have been breakfast time unless I slept in late. But anyway, so when he got there and he didn't see any figs on it, so Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now, interesting, it doesn't really seem that Jesus made a big deal of it. He just said, no one's going to eat fruit from this thing again. So this, you know, because the tree was deceptive. It looked like it had fruit on it, didn't have fruit on it. So Jesus says, you know, basically, die, sucker. I mean, that's what he said. You know? Because he was hungry. I'm sure there's a lot of times whenever you're hungry, you didn't get to eat, you know, maybe you didn't, you know, act like you should. Well, have you ever seen those Snickers commercials, you know, where it says, well, you know, it really isn't you, and, you know, it's, everyone's always complaining, and finally they took a bite of a Snickers candy bar, and all of a sudden everything's good again. Well, that's how it was with the figs for Jesus. He was hungry, and, you know, so and whenever he said, no one eat, you know, no one's going to eat from these figs anymore. This tree's going to die. Now, what I want to point out, though, is that Jesus faced a disappointing time. Now, you know, in our life, a lot of times, whenever there are situations, sometimes we face our own fig trees. We get to a situation, and we thought everything's going to work out, and boom, it was a disappointing time. So what do we need to do? Speak to those things. You know, maybe you went to the doctor, and you thought everything was great, and the doctor said, things don't look good. Took a blood test, it doesn't look good. We need to run more tests. You know, then you need to speak to your situation. So speak to your disappointments. Because I found a lot of times we go through what we call a disappointing time, and some of us, we just get depressed about it. And instead of we have to decide what we're going to do. When you face a disappointment, you have to decide, are you going to move past it? Or are you going to stay there and be disappointed? See, Jesus decided, hey, I'm going to curse this fig tree, not just for him, but also so nobody else gets disappointed like he was that day. You know, and sometimes it seems that we go through our own fig tree. Sometimes it seems we're in a fig tree forest. It seems that we go from disappointment to disappointment to disappointment to disappointment. But you know what? What we need to do, understand is every time we face a disappointment, we need to curse it in the name of Jesus. Now, this is a good time to interject that I went to the doctor last Thursday, and I actually hadn't seen my test results, but she said everything looked good, and so I don't have to go see the kidney doctor for 4 more months. Everything seems in remission. You know, praise God. You know, that's awesome. I'm no longer on my steroid medication, which lost 5 pounds, which that's good. I mean, you know. And so it should be easier to lose weight now, not be on that medication, which makes you gain weight and stuff, and also makes you hungry besides that, you know, but, so you're great testimony. But, you know, like, you know, when I found out I had a kidney disease, that wasn't a good testimony. It was a disappointment at first, but you know what? What do we have to do? We have to speak to our disappointments. And we move beyond by faith. You know, even if we don't see any results immediately, we just keep moving on. Now, what's interesting, and I'm not going to really read that, is the next thing that Jesus did after he faced a disappointment is went and overturned the money changers' tables and things like that. So, you know, I always say, well, moral of the story, don't let Jesus get hungry. Anyway, but I want to skip down to verse 20. You know, that's a whole nother story. You know, he went to the temple, but, you know, he was hungry and he was mad. So, Anyway, verse number 20 says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by," meaning Jesus and his disciples, "they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, and said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.'" So, you know, what's interesting part about it is because sometimes that we kind of get the image in our head that Jesus cursed a fig tree and all of a sudden it withered away in front of him. But evidently it didn't. Because, you know, the next day, whenever they passed by that same fig tree, Peter and the other disciples, they were amazed because they thought Jesus was joking. They didn't think it was a big deal. You know, they thought he was just mad or whatever. But, you know, he wasn't joking when he cursed a fig tree. And then he spoke a lesson. And, you know, obviously it's a lesson that a lot of us have got a hold of in life. But you know, this was the lesson that he taught his disciples and other folks after his fig tree experience, that you need to use your own voice. Now, first of all, in verse number 22, which all of you know that that's my favorite scripture, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Because see, whenever you speak, your faith has to be in God. It's not in yourself. It's not in anybody else, because it's not about you. It's about God. So it's not about you doing anything except believing God. How hard is it to believe God? Now, you know, some people have written in some translations, says have the faith of God. And, you know, I asked the Lord one time, I said, "What is the faith of God?" And he brought me back to Genesis 1:1, when God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, you know, understanding that when God spoke, he spoke with his mouth. He believed that whenever he spoke, it was going to happen, and he had what he said, which is exactly what Jesus tells us. See, when God spoke, there was light. Why? Because he's God. Now, sometimes people don't realize that because, you know, they sing the song, "God is God." You know, he's God on the platform, and God back in the amen corner, God back at the door, you know, and people are dancing and shouting around. But God's more than that. He's more than somebody that causes us to shout and dance and have a good time. Our God is the greatest thing in the entire universe. Amen. And every other universe. Amen. That when God speaks, things change. But you know what Jesus is trying to say? You need to have the same faith that God had. When he said, "Lights, turn on." You know, all he said, "Lights, come on." And they came on. That's why I invented the clapper, you know, later on. You know. Now, I don't know if God clapped or what he did. But he just said, "Lights be." And they were. And everything he says to be, they were. And then later on, the Beatles wrote a song about it called "Let It Be." So anyway, that's kind of a joke, okay. But, you know, God said, let there be. Let there be, let there be. And there was. Why? God said it. He believed it. And it settled it. He had it. Now, you know, if God was here in the modern day, a modern day Christian, he would have to say it, give a big offering, you know, fast and pray a little bit, do the hokey pokey and turn himself around, you know, make sure he got all 99 steps on how to receive from God that Brother So-and-so wrote. And then the lights would come on after 40 days and 40 nights of prayer and fasting. Now, obviously, it didn't happen. And, you know, I'm not saying that you can't pray and you can't fast. I'm not saying you can't give an offering. I'm just saying, if you'll say it with your mouth, believe in your heart, you can have whatever you say, because that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus did with the fig tree, and that's what you can do in your life. It's not that hard. But we have to understand, it's not about us doing anything. It's about us putting our faith and our trust in God. And I always say, if you can't believe your Bible, believe your money, where it says, "In God we trust." And it's interesting about that, that, you know, when you take whatever, okay, this is a $10 bill, says, "In God we trust," you know, and there's a picture, I'm not sure, oh, the U.S. Treasury. Here's a picture of the treasury, but you know what? It doesn't say, "In the treasury we trust." All right? Now, who's on the $10 bill? They're changing things now, you know, so it's Hamilton. I guess, is he staying on the $10 bill? Which one are they changing? Is it 20 they're changing the 10? Who knows? Anyway, but we don't trust in Alexander Hamilton. Some of you don't even know who he was. He was a president. All right. All right, but it doesn't say in this dollar, in this $10 bill I trust. It says in God I trust, because I believe our founding fathers understood that really it's not about our money, it's not about our government, but it's about our God. Amen. Now, some of our court system might not believe some of that kind of stuff later on in history, but I believe that that's why it got put there. Now, people have been fighting like crazy to take it away, but it's still there for now. All right, but you know, this is another way of saying Mark 11:22, have faith in God I trust. And so if sometimes, maybe take a picture of it, blow it up and put it on your mirror or something like that. Understand that your trust is only in God. It's not about your trust in you. And a lot of people said, Craig, I have a hard time with faith because I don't see how it's going to happen. And see, what they're trying to do, they're trying to figure out, how am I going to make something happen by my words? The deal is, you're not going to make anything happen by your words. You're going to trust that God is going to make something happen, and your words are just opening up the door for God to bring it to pass. Because your words are opening up that faith. And see, when that faith comes in, it comes in now. And when it comes in now, you don't believe anything else. Because, see, remember, faith is an unquestioning belief. So if you believe, then you don't think anything else. It's not, when is it going to happen? Well, like I said, here for Jesus, it didn't happen that same time. The next morning, it had happened. I don't know when it happened. I don't know how many hours went through because, unlike today, where they... Today, they have webcams that will show something over. There was no webcam on the fig tree. And there's actually some people out there that watch your internet, watch this webcam. Well, let's see how long it took for Jesus, for the fig tree to die. It didn't matter because when Jesus spoke the words, see, if you know anything about a tree, that in order for it to die, the roots have to die first. So when Jesus spoke the words, the roots started drying up immediately. Now, it took a process, and this situation is, I guess, all night long or so many hours, because, when they went back to Bethany, of course, it was dark, so maybe they didn't, they didn't want enough light to see if the fig tree was right up or not. Maybe they didn't care. Maybe they were tired. I don't know. But in the morning, when it was light, they noticed that fig tree had dried up. And then I know that Peter, calling to everyone's attention, and the other disciples, they were amazed. How does this happen? And Jesus, basically, his answer was, have faith in God. That was his answer at first. Have faith in God. Now, many people are trying to have faith in their own faith. It's not about your faith, not about what you can believe. I mean, what you can believe you can do naturally. It's about what you believe that God can do in your life, or what you believe God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. Because remember, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And so really anything that Jesus did was, that's what God did it for you, because he sent Jesus. All right. That was the key for you having life and having it more abundantly. I mean, we read John 10:10 all the time. But, after he talked about the devil, Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, many times, and I think we need to do this more often, we need to examine our life and decide, is it more abundantly, less abundantly, halfway abundantly? Because if it's not more abundantly, we need to change the way we talk. A lot of times it's the way we talk. A lot of times, when I've done it, you've done it, we start griping about money. Oh my goodness, it's almost the end of the month. I don't get paid till the first. Every month I go through this, man. It's a struggle every month. You can have whatever you say you can have. Quit calling it a struggle and call it a pleasure. It doesn't matter. You know what? Your God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, not your riches and glory, not your job, not what's going on, according to his riches and glory. But if you believe that, it'll be. If you want to let it be, you have to believe. The Bible says, only believe that all things are possible to him, I like to add this, him or her that believes. What's all things mean? That means all things. That means everything that you need is possible if you'll believe. Now see, it's not according to your faith, it's according to his faith, because the things that are possible with God are impossible to man. So it's not about what you can really think that you can do. You're not going to do anything. All you're going to do is speak the word only. When you face a disappointment, you face a fig tree, decide that you're going to make a change. You're going to change it. How do you change it? You speak the word because you trust that you're God. See, our faith is in God. And that's what we have to understand. Our faith is always in God. It's never in you. It's not in the pastor. It's not in anybody else. It's in God. It's in God we trust. And I tell you what, if we get a hold of it, it'd be life-changing. In fact, I think about this every time I talk about it. I mean, you know, my grandfather was there, 17 years of age. They're half paralyzed, had a deformed heart and a blood disease, given up to die, and he got a hold of the Bible. And, you know, he said with his mouth, he says, he was half paralyzed. It said it took him forever to even turn the page because, you know, he could barely move his hands and stuff. And he said that, he got a Bible and he saw Old Testament, New Testament. And he figured, well, I might not make it long enough to live to get through, you know, the Bible. Let me start in the New Testament because, you know, I figured the newer is a better one. And so understand that he started, he read all of Matthew. Now, I don't know how many days it took, but he read all of Matthew. Then he started, you know, in Mark chapter, you know, first chapter, second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, fifth chapter, sixth chapter, seventh chapter, eighth chapter, ninth chapter, tenth chapter, and then he got to chapter 11. And he read a verse, mainly, well, a couple of verses, Mark 11, 23 and 24. And when he read those verses, he said, it was like they jump off the page to him. You know, he had never heard a faith message at all. He had never read a book on faith. Didn't have any DVDs, CDs, MP3s. There wasn't even any Christian television where guys are asking for offerings on TV. All right, I mean, you know, he had nothing. In fact, the only thing he had was that he invited his Baptist pastor to come and he wanted to ask him about this verse. And the pastor says, just be patient, my boy. In a few days, it'll all be over. I mean, you think about that. I mean, you know, a man of God, someone you trust, and whenever he gets there, he's going to say, in a few days, it'll all be over. So actually, he said for a while, he just waited to die. And then he got the Bible back, and he began to read these verses. I tell you what, the word can change you. That's one reason my grandpa always said, you know, God's word will change you. God's word works. God's word works for me, and it works for you too. And, you know, just think about it. Here he is, a 17-year-old boy. He, you know, he knew nothing about faith. I mean, you know, many of you, you know, a lot of you are a lot older than I am. And you've probably heard message after message after message on faith. I've heard quite a few because, you know, I've, you know, traveled with my grandfather and my father and heard many messages on faith. But he hadn't heard any messages on faith. He didn't really even know what faith is. He hadn't got to Hebrews chapter 11 yet. But praise God, whenever he heard these verses and found out that you can speak to your mountain, things change. And it not only changed his life, it changed millions around the world. Because he got a hold of the Bible. Think about this. If more of us can get a hold of a few verses, what could we change? If we can understand, you know, like I said, that he had a deformed heart and he had a blood disease. And they said, you know, they told him, said, if your heart was normal, if you had a normal heart like everybody else, the blood disease alone would kill you. All right. So basically he had two things that were killing him. Everything was against him, including his own pastor. But praise God, when he decided, you know what, he was going to have faith in God. It wasn't about what he had heard. It wasn't about what he said, because the Bible says. See, that's why he was always a stickler for the word. What does the Bible say? And that's why I am. You know, whenever I face a situation, well, what does the Bible say about it? It says that whatever I face, even if it's disappointing like it was to Jesus in the fig tree, it doesn't matter how disappointing it seems. What matters is that I have faith in God and I can get through this through God. And I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to have faith and I'm going to have it. Now, you know, it goes on. Mark 11, verse 23 says this, and for assuredly. See, assuredly means it's going to happen. Assuredly. Assuredly, I say to you, Jesus talking to his disciples here, but he said, you guys, you need to tell whoever. See, some people say, well, that was just for disciples. No, he was telling his disciples that whoever gets a hold of this, it's going to change their life. Whoever can get a hold of this, it will change their life. See, sometimes we need to have a whoever moment. See, what happens is the devil tries to tell us that we can't do something. Well, no, it's just too bad. You know, you haven't been to church enough. You haven't given enough money. You haven't done this. You haven't been a good Christian. You didn't even go pass out flyers, you know, on the door hangers, you know, whenever you could, because you were just too busy. You had to stay home and watch OU or something like that. I mean, whatever. It was too cold. It's almost Halloween. I didn't have a costume to wear. And if I'm not going to open the, if well, I'm not going to have you knock on the door, we're just going to hang your door hangers, but someone might open their door. If they do, say trick or treat and ask for candy. I don't care. You know, whatever you want to do. But just be a blessing. You know what? But even if you don't do it, you can still have what you say. But, you know, I've seen people that they felt, well, I'm just not a good enough Christian. You know, I would like to have that, but you know what? You know, I just haven't been, I haven't been good enough. My own wife, you know, talked to me about, you know, some situations that happened in her life. And she said, you know, Craig, I was so stupid. I the devil lied to me and told me that I couldn't have that because I haven't been to church like I should. Because I grew up in church and I really hadn't been there like I should. I really said, you know, how could I believe God for that whenever I really hadn't believed God for a hot dog? You know, so how can I believe God for that situation? You know, I don't care what you believe God for in the past, because you know what? When my grandfather got a hold of this, he hadn't believed God for nothing. He never had believed God for anything, and all of a sudden the first thing he has to ask God is that he'll live and not going to die. When he has a short time to live. What happened is he walked off. That morning, when he got a hold of it, he stood up and he got up and he went to breakfast. You know, he said, basically what he said, he got a hold of this message, and he said, well, the Lord told him, said, well, what do well people do at 10:30 in the morning? He says, well, they get out of bed. So he said, okay. And he got out of bed. I said, you know, in that day and age, and they had a big bedpost, and he grabbed a hold of the bedpost and he pulled himself out of bed. And he says, as soon as his feet hit the floor, all of a sudden from the top of his head, he said he felt pins and needles flowing through. Now, what it was is his nerve endings were coming back to life. And he said, you know, he said, if it wouldn't have felt so good, it would have hurt so bad. Because he said, it really hurt. But when you haven't felt in a long time, it sure felt good to feel something. You know, all because of a young man, a 17-year-old boy, got a hold of a couple of scriptures that changed his life. And you know, from that day to the day he died, he preached on these scriptures probably more than any other scripture he ever preached on. Because, you know, it was life-changing to him, and it'd be life-changing to you. And you know, his whole goal in life was to make sure that people got a hold of this faith message. I mean, you know, it makes me proud that, you know, read Wikipedia, not that Wikipedia is anything, you know, thing, but it says he was the father of the modern day faith movement. I don't know when the modern day started, because there was a lot of other faith teachers before him. You know, once he walked up that, he was able to get a hold of some material and found that the other people were believing like he believed. You know, so the other faith, but whatever they called it, you know, that's what they called it. In fact, one time I was flipping channel, and I was flipping channels, you know, like how we do sometimes, you know. I mean, you know, there's nothing on TV, although we have 500 channels now or whatever. At that time, we didn't have 500, but we had like 47 or something, you know. Still nothing on. flipping channels, came by ABC. All of a sudden, I see a picture of my grandfather. And, you know, they were talking about him. They said, actually, it was expose, not a good one, on some ministers. Not on Ray McGrath, but a lot of them, you know, learned what they learned from Brother Hagin. And so they said, all of them call this man their father, the father in the faith. Don't make, and nothing to do with anything that we halfway claim these people, you know, but we don't, they didn't, they're not Ray McGrath graduates, but anyway, it was interesting to hear ABC said that this man is the father of the modern day faith movement. So he's the one who, they, and as far as they're concerned, established the message, although it was Jesus Christ that established it. And it was amazing because my grandfather said he had many people that would get mad at him for teaching like he was teaching. But you know, interesting part about it, he's speaking words that Jesus spoke and was in red in your Bible. You know, I mean, you know, if you're going to call someone a liar, it shouldn't be Jesus. I mean, obviously, we've been in political arena. We see a lot of liars and a lot of people calling people liars, and we don't know what we see. But anyway, you know, if you're going to call somebody a liar, you don't call Jesus a liar. And so, well, I wasn't calling Jesus a liar. I called Brother Hagin a liar, but all he did was quote what Jesus said. Jesus is not a liar. He's a life giver. Anyway, let me go ahead and read these scriptures. So it says, for assuredly I say to you that whoever says, whoever means you or anybody else, who says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So it says, you know, you need to say to a mountain or your situation, your fig tree or whatever it is, move and get out of here. And when you say it, you believe it. You believe what you say. And when you do, it'll be done. Now, you know, understand, it will be done. He will have whatever he says. But it's done whether you see it done or not. Because when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, when he finished talking, the fig tree was still there, still had leaves. But as far as Jesus was concerned, the fig tree was done. And see, we have to use his example that even though we don't see it from the outside, we need to understand that we spoke the words, and those words were not just my words. Those words, you know, had the full faith and trust of God. I'm not just speaking what I want to speak. I'm speaking words that I can speak because Jesus said that I can speak these words. If my faith is in God. Now, when I speak, I always say, in the name of Jesus, I command. You know, and, you know, some people don't understand. A command is not, you know, well, I sure hope, or I sure would like. No, you don't like or hope that a mountain's going to move. You command it to move. Just like that, you know, a police officer, if they speak a command, if they say stop police, then you need to stop. If you don't stop, you could get shot. I don't know what's going to happen to you. You know, but when a police officer makes a commandment, you need to obey. If you don't obey, it can wind you up in jail. It can wind you up dead. It can wind you up all kinds of places. You know, because you didn't do what the officer said. Now, we need to do what the officer says. But you know what? Is that our situation has to do what we say because our trust and faith is in God. Not in us. It's not because we're special. It doesn't matter how special you think you are. It's because your faith and trust is in God. Now, it's interesting, if you read this from the New Living Translation, it says like this. It says, I tell you the truth that you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen. And have no doubt in your heart. Now, see, you got to really believe. Now, God really believed that the light would come on when he said, let there be light. In fact, he believed it. He didn't think that something was going to stop the light from coming on. There was nothing that was going to stop anything from happening. It was going to happen because God said it. And that's what we have to understand, is that when we speak with that kind of authority. That's the God kind of faith. Whether it's a fig tree, whether it's a disease, whether it's a financial situation, whether it's an emotional situation, a physical situation, whatever it is, when we speak, it has to change because Jesus says so. And my faith is in God. My faith is in Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, therefore I say unto you, back to New King James, therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, see, you will have them when you pray. Even before you see it, you have it. You know, my grandfather always says, the time to shout is when you pray. The time to shout is when you pray. Because see, if faith is in whenever you pray, then you have it when you pray. See, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree died then. Now the next day, they saw the fig tree dead. And they were all amazed. And Jesus says, no duh, I talked to the fig tree and it died. I commanded it and it died. It did what I command because you know what? That fig tree was deceptive. It deceived me. It deceived you. And it's not going to deceive anybody else. And when you speak, that's when you get excited. Now, when it actually comes to pass, you're like, well, I knew it was going to come to pass. I mean, you know, I said, I didn't get excited whenever I'm happy, you know, when I got the thing said everything was in remission. Like I said, this is the first time I had not had any medication, and they took a test, and I've had medication before, you know, so they said I was a month off medication. They want to make sure everything was still in remission. And I was excited. Yes, I was excited, but you know what? That's what I expected. But you know what? I'm going to tell you this. Even if I would have took the test and things wouldn't have seemed like they were going good, that wouldn't have shook my faith. Amen. Because my faith is in God. You know, because you have to understand in this situation, most people that had the same disease that I had, it continues on and they lose a kidney or maybe both. Well, you can't lose both and live, but you have to have a kidney transplant or whatever. And so, usually it's the downfall. In fact, I told my wife to quit reading. And then she would get mad because she wanted to read about this and about that. I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I mean, I understand that. I mean, I get it. I mean, I want to know how serious it is, but that's all I need to know. I don't need to hear stories about this person and that person and that person. And that's just about this person, that person, or whatever, getting healed. I don't want to hear about all the bad news. Because, you know, if my faith is not in that, so why do I need to hear that? Because, you know, I don't care. I don't care what anybody else did. I don't care if everybody else who had my disease died. It doesn't matter. You know, my point is that, well, nobody else has made it. Well, there has to be a first one, and I'm going to be the first one. There you go. You have to decide, because, you know, it's not just because I'm conceited. I'm not conceited. I know what the word says. Well, first of all, you know, living life, you know, bound by all kinds of bad stuff and you know, and going through dialysis or whatever, that's not more abundant. You know, that's not an abundant life. I mean, that's, you know, but, you know, something else, though, is whenever, here's something else. Whenever you get, you know, first of all, I personally believe, this is my personal belief, you know, many people think that my grandfather was anti-doctors. He was always for doctors. In fact, he went to a doctor. That's fine. That's how he found out that he had a blood disease and a deformed heart. He's always been pro-doctors. I'm very pro-doctors. I think you need to find out as soon as possible what's wrong so you can believe. I think it's very important. And my grandfather, always really big on prayer and medicine working together. Prayer and medicine working together. You know, because, you know, he believes, and I believe, that I don't care what a doctor says. Sometimes doctors say, well, I'm agnostic or I'm atheist. I don't, you know what? If a doctor invented some kind of medication that's going to cure a disease, God gave him the talent and ability to do that, whether he wants to honor God or not. You know, and many times, I mean, you know, today, obviously, it was NFL we're playing, and people are saying, well, you know, look at that God-given talent. Well, you know what? They'll say that about anybody, whether or not they acknowledge that it was given from God. Because we know it was given from God. All good things come from the Lord. All right? And so, you know, I've heard, you know, John Osteen, some, you know, that's Joel's dad, if you don't know him. You know, one day he said, well, I'm going to take, you know, this blood pressure medication until I don't need it anymore. Because it's going to keep me alive until I'm healed. You know, so not against medication. And a lot of people that would say, well, you know, you need to be against medication. No, not against medication. In fact, I believe that if you're going to do everything you can to be healed, that you'll take medication. You'll do whatever. But I believe in getting on it fast. Find out what's wrong with you and believe. That doesn't mean, it, if you didn't find out and you're already stage 4 cancer, you can still live and not die. All right? See, that's what happens. A lot of times people give up. Well, it's just so late. If you would have caught it earlier, it doesn't really matter. You can ask Shirley Ledford here. I mean, she's sitting here in church. And what, you're given a week to live?
No,
3 months. And that was 1977? 78. 1978, she was given 3 months to live. Well, you can tell she's lived a lot longer than 3 months. All right? Now, how would you like to be there and given 3 months to live? I mean, you know, think about that. I mean, you know, the thought pattern, the think about the song of go skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, whatever, you know, or whatever. But, you know, think about that. 3 months, but you know what? She didn't give up. And because she didn't give up, she's here today.
Amen.
And you can be here today. You know, I don't care if you're given 1 day, 1 week, 3 months, a year, or whatever. It doesn't matter. What can you believe? All things are possible to them that believe. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. And we thank you, Father. Help us to understand faith like never before. Help us to understand, even when we face our worst disappointments, that we can get through it, we can believe, and we shall receive. We thank you for everything you're doing in our midst today. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God that's working in this place today. Father God, we thank you right now, if anyone is here that's not saved, they don't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, that they'll come home, they'll make him Lord tonight. Or maybe someone is here and they say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved, but I've turned my back, I've walked away, and I want to come home, and I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, if you need to be saved for the very first time, or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, lift your hand, we want to pray with you. I don't see hands. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, if anyone is here that's not saved, not a child of God, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis, and we thank you, Father, that they shall be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Let's all stand up. Does anyone here need healing in their body? You need healing. Come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. Amen. Because God wants you healed. Amen. I don't care how what it is. I don't care if it's a cold. I don't care if it's asthma. I don't care if it's AIDS. I don't care what it is. You know, there is no difference, whatever it might be. If you need healing, come on down here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. What I want you guys to do, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift both hands toward heaven. Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you right now. You're such a good God. We thank you, Father, right now as we lay our hands upon these. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God that shall flow into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Father, in advance for their healing now in the name of Jesus. In the name of, that's it right there. That's it right there. Be healed now. There it is. It's working. It's working. In the name, oh, there it is. It's all over you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, you know, it's great to hear a faith message over and over and over again. It inspires us. Amen. Speaking of that, Brother Jerry's here. Make sure you come say hi to him. And God's working in his life. Amen. It's good to see him. You know, he's had a faith battle here recently, but praise God, he's here And he, he's, but keep praying, keep praying for him and keep believing with him, because God's working in his life. Amen. Just like he's working in all our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, don't forget, if you want to help out, we have some information about, door hangers, and we want to make sure that, all of you are going to volunteer now, right? Because you don't have an excuse not to. All right. If you want to wear a costume, I guess you can, but you don't have to. All right. Or some of them, if you just show up as yourself, and it's a costume anyway. Amen. Brother Roger's back there. Or if you want information about the upcoming men's conference, it's always a wonderful time. We have, the ladies had a great time a few weeks ago, and we're going to have a great time in November, so you can make yourself available to that. Amen. Well, the way we just mess around here is they're going to sing a song and give me time to get back to that door over there. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's a door over there. You can go out. Amen. We're glad to have you guys. We'll see you back here next Sunday. God bless you.